T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Ray Dunaway, and you are?
Tired. No, Jody Ambrosio. Just trying to, I couldn't figure out why you were singing that song. And
what, well, then I realized. Katrina in the Way.
Yeah, no, it's a good song. I like that.
You know, the sunshine.
I like that.
It's positive. It's nice.
The story about creating a board of regents has surfaced again. Jackie Rabe Thomas writes expertly for CT Mirror and takes time out of her busy day to join us now. Jackie, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing this morning?
We're good. You're not stuck in traffic everywhere. Anywhere. All of our guests have been stuck on the road in traffic today, either in D.C. or in Connecticut. So
you're okay?
I was in traffic. I actually got off the highway just a couple minutes before I got on the phone, though.
Good.
No longer.
We're worried about you sometimes. Okay. Well, you want to talk about this? It has to do with a consolidation. And that was, for example, the state college system with, you know, essentially the community college system. It's all under the control now of Mark Ohjakian. And, you know, the thought was, A, it's going to be more efficient when it comes to administration, so on and so forth. But what have you found as you look into this, Jackie?
So there were a lot of promises made back in 2011 when the governor at the time, for his first weeks in office, Governor Malloy, he really wanted to consolidate administrative costs and try to get costs to students. And so 7 years have passed since that has happened, and it's been a mixed bag by and large. So one of the promises was to hire more faculty. Well, the number of faculty has actually declined at the community colleges and the state universities. But on the other hand, they also wanted the attempt was also to make an easier transfer for students who wanted to, you know, start their associate's degree at one of the community colleges and make sure none of their credits were lost when they went over to the state university. So now about 5% of community college students are now enrolled in programs and on track to get an associate's degree in programs that will guarantee all of their credits transfer and that they'll be able to still graduate in 2 years after starting the state university. So, you know, they're starting that work and it's, you know, it can only improve going forward. The expectation is more and more students will be participating in seamless transfer programs. It's been a long time coming. But then the sort of the biggest promise that was made was, you know, millions would be saved. And so looking at, you know, how much has actually been saved, there's 55 fewer employees over at the system office now than were at each of these little fiefdoms before.
Okay.
And so with the with having so many fewer employees, they now actually are saving money at the system office in salaries. So money that would have otherwise been spent on those 55 employees being over there is no longer being spent, which is about, you know, almost $4 million each year being saved. That's largely offset by some of the unfunded liabilities and salary and other benefits that the system has to pay its employees. But those costs are largely out of the region's control. Salaries and wages are really the thing that the system office can control.
Do we know, Jackie, how either of the main gubernatorial candidates feel about this?
Yeah, so Ned Lamont, he thinks that, you know, it's the system office is functioning as intended. You know, he thinks that the function of a system office is to help out with some things that can be regionalized, such as information technology, personnel, budget functions. So stuff that doesn't need to necessarily have an existence at each individual campus. So if you look at who the staffs are at the system office, you know, 40% are IT staff. Another, you know, almost 20% are budget staff,
okay.
So that, you know, you don't have to have an individual budget staff at each office. Now, Bob Stefanowski, he's got a whole different opinion. He thinks that this is just, you know, political landing spot for Malloy's people. Mark Ohjakian did work in the Malloy administration for 5 years. He's now the system's president. So there's some concern on the Stefanowski campaign that it's not well suited for its purpose.
And in your story at ctmirror.org, Jacqueline Rabe Thomas with us, in that you do point that out. You know, Ohjakian's just one of several who have come from the administration into the state college system. Is that correct?
Right, yeah. So the governor's former spokesperson was there. Another person from his communication staff was there. So there have been some people who have landed over there. I think Stefanowski's most recent criticism surrounds whether or not governor's budget chief, Ben Barnes, will become the system's next budget chief, the college system's next budget chief. He's interviewed for the job. Stefanowski said, you know, if Ben Barnes runs the college system like he ran the state, then the system's not headed for a good place.
I don't know
how much you can really charge a chief financial officer for the decisions their boss makes.
Right.
So sort of that's the natural pushback from someone of like, how much do you blame the CFO for their boss's decisions?
Where are we on the whole charter school story? Are we ready for another showdown?
I'm actually parked right outside the meeting right now. I'm going to head in there now.
Nice.
So they're going to decide today, the State Board of Education, they're slated to vote on two new charter schools and whether or not their educational plans will be approved. Now, this is similar to what happened almost 5 years ago.
Right.
Some educational plans were proposed, and then, you know, almost immediately after, the charter schools started, you know, billboards were erected on the side of highways saying, enroll now for your 6th through 12th grade student. But then sort of legislators driving by that were just scratching their head like, did we fund that? I don't remember paying for that. So you had some upset legislators who had parents coming to them being like, why don't you want to fund my charter school?
Oh, God.
So sort of there was a miscommunication back then. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out this time.
Jackie, by and large, and one of the reasons that, of course, charter schools were created was to give kids just another option for education. But how are they performing?
Right. So the State Department of Education a few years back, they did a study, you know, amid a lot of criticism that there hasn't been a lot of research on Connecticut's charter schools and how they're doing. You know, you'll have the charter schools saying they're doing great. You'll have the teachers union saying they're not doing great.
Right.
So there hasn't really been sort of bipartisan, academic research on them. And so the State Department of Ed did a study a few years back and found, you know, it depends on the charter school. And it
there
depends on it, so it's not being a charter school in its own does not mean you're going to be a great charter school. So it's all about sort of the oversight and what the pedagogy is of each individual school.
Are you well caffeinated this morning?
You okay?
I am not yet. No, I had to get my kids out the door this morning. So I have a coffee. I haven't drank it yet, though.
Because on Jackie's Twitter feed, at Jacqueline Rabin, a profile, it says, tantrum negotiator, you should be in here most days, and generally well caffeinated. So. We can keep you up to your nostrils in coffee here, Jack. So,
Jackie, we're going to check you out this afternoon, right? You'll have the story written. What do you say, 11 o'clock?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for the time. We always appreciate
it. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.